from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill.
All right, here we go, okay? We are on the final countdown. We are on the final countdown.
Let's go.
Again, if you've been waiting for this, the Klay Thompson signed jersey, Twitch and YouTube, here it is. Twitch and YouTube. Check it out.
It's signed.
Yeah, it is. It's Klay Thompson jersey.
And he signed it.
Yeah, that's the word on the street.
That's always my favorite. It's a signed jersey. By who?
By who? Yeah.
This time it is Klay.
I grabbed a pen and I wrote Klay on it. It's signed. No, Klay Thompson signed blue traditional Warriors road jersey. And that is on the line. And then so are these three baubles. Okay, this is the bauble pack. Look at this. Paper plane Klay. Okay. Put that over here. And then Captain Klay.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
Which that's the one that Dibs likes. I like it too. He's in a boat. And then this one, Headband Klay. All right. So all three of those baubles go to all three of the winners today. The winners will happen late this afternoon at 5:11 with Steiny and Goo, early this afternoon at 1:11 with Bonte and Joe, and in 7 minutes. With you and me. 8:11. Okay?
8:11. Monte Ellis and Klay Thompson.
You are listening for a sounder. When you hear the sounder, we will give you directions. You will call. You will win. And if you win one of those bobble packs, you will be the three finalists for the signed jersey. And that will be awarded at the end of the day. Good luck to each and every one of you. Okay?
It's one of the rare times where you qualify and you have a 1 in 3 chance.
That's right.
Like normally we have 20 qualifiers and you get a good prize to qualify.
Yes.
And then you're 1 of 20. This time you're 1 of 3.
1 of 3. Okay. You got a 33.333333% chance to win that jersey if you get in and win. And we're doing that in now 6 minutes. So stay right where you are. FP Santangelo in 25 minutes. All guests. On 95.7 The Game, up here on the River Islands guest line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? And we started the day talking about what I feel is like this, it's a weirdly, oddly intense 10 days for the Giants. I I'm as big of a fan as there is, but I understand if a fan is like, you know, like we're all ratcheted up. All right, here we go. The deadline is coming in 10 days, and the Giants need wins. All right, here we go. Giants, Rockies.
Woo! Yeah, starting the second half. Just 1 of 162.
Like what?
You got 65 of these left to go.
Yeah, but you've got 11 left before what Farhan said was the big decision. You going up? Are you going down? Are you going old? Are you going young? Are you going established? Are you going unproven? What are you doing with your finances? Are you going for it or not? And again, I don't really buy the idea that Farhan would sell unless it's just beyond obvious. Like if they go 3-8 over the next 11 and they can't beat the Colorado Rockies, then this puppy's cooked. I don't think that that's going to happen because Farhan would essentially be sealing his own fate. Understand that there's a small picture and a big picture. The small picture is Giants have 11 games. What's their record? Do you want to try to win this year or not? That's the small picture. The large picture is this year feels much more representative of the Farhan Zaidi era than anything else. You can have the good of 2021, the frustration of the year since then, but they finally spent money. They've got a huge payroll. They really expressed, they changed managers. They expressed urgency that this team was going to compete right now. And if this team can't even achieve a winning record, then that is not a narrative on this season. That's a narrative on the last six.
Right. And if you look at the last six and you take out 107 and 55, which you don't have to take it out because that's a part of Farhan's resume, but he was 8 below, 2 below, 107 wins, 500, 4 below, 3 below. So he's been basically a 500 level president of baseball ops ever since he's been here. You won 107 when you had about six different guys have career years and you caught lightning in a bottle. You had an unbelievable year. You lost in the NLDS, and that was unfortunate, but that's a year that counts on his resume as well. But all told, he's about 25 games above 500 over 6 years, which is not very good. It's indicative of mediocrity.
Yeah.
And yet what you said is interesting on two fronts. One, I can't believe we're looking at this like the next 10 days determine everything, but it does.
In a way, yes.
And at the same time, you look at a six-year run where everything was built up for this year. We waited for him to spend, and he did. We waited for the young guys to come up, and they have. We waited for this roster to feel real, and you added in an absolutely professional good manager, and this thing should coalesce into a winning season, and yet here we are, 47-50.
Here we are, and we all know the story of what's gone well, what's gone wrong. There's been a lot more that's gone wrong, the injuries, the inconsistency, just the disappointment. I do often think this, and this gets hard for me to say because I know that a lot of you don't want to hear it from me. I know that I have been more supportive of Farhan Zaidi than most.
Maybe
than all. Maybe. I think this year, I've certainly, all of us, we've started to point out some of the larger issues that are there. I do think that, for example, his regime spent way too much time trying to prove that they knew how to do things a different way. And when they did that, they tried to dismiss in many ways the past. They like even little things that fans may not know about. There were pictures that got taken down in the clubhouse and things like that that were celebrating the past. And I thought that was all indicative of a group that really wanted to show you that they knew what they were doing. And instead of just doing it, they really wanted to tell you, we know what we're doing. And that rubbed people the wrong way, and that's fair. Now, when they didn't spend, was that on Farhan? Was it on ownership? Is it on all of them? I sometimes do wonder this question aloud. Why does Farhan rub you the wrong way so bad? I get the shortcomings. The criticisms, many of them are very fair. I've joined you. I totally understand. But I do think other things get dismissed. Like you said, 107 is on the resume. So are a bunch of brilliant trades. Now, then there's also been the shortcomings of like, dude, you just haven't gotten enough good players. So we can talk about that throughout the hour, throughout the remaining 2 hours. FP Santangelo coming up in just about 20 minutes.
Up top play. That's another three. Why not? Why not? Absolutely sick for Clay Thompson.
Okay. Why not? Says Tim Roy. Well, why not? Why not give us a call right now on the contest line and see if you can win? It is your time, your chance to win a Klay Thompson signed jersey and a three-pack of Klay Thompson bobbleheads. What we're looking for is caller 11. Get it? Caller 11. Right now to our contest line, which is 415-523-4652. 415-523-4652. One more time. 415-523-4652. Call that contest line right now. Don't call the caller line. It won't work. We won't answer. You won't get anywhere. Call that contest line right now to win the three-pack of Klay bobbleheads and be one of three qualifiers for the Klay Thompson signed jersey. Good luck to each of you, and remember that if you do not qualify this time, simply make sure that you are listening to Bonte and Joe at 1:11 this afternoon and Steiny and Goo at 5:11 late this afternoon for your other two chances to win three-pack of Klay bobbleheads, and one of you three gets the jersey.
Pretty sweet.
There it is.
Yeah, great prize. And for those fans who are forlorn about Klay leaving, or somebody who's nostalgic about the great years that the Warriors have had with the Splash Brothers and with Draymond Green and the titles and all the rest of it, this is one of those keepsakes that you get. You put it down there in your man cave or your fan cave or your she shed, whatever you want to do, however you roll, or your non-binary sports basement.
You're fine. Just, yes, you're good.
Nowadays, 2024, you got to run through all of it. You got to make sure that all the consonants are covered, Mark.
You don't have to.
And there's some vowels in there that need to be addressed as well.
Fair point. Yep,
yeah, I'm trying to be a man of all people. Not a man of the people, but a man or a fan, a person, an individual for all other individuals.
We've already got our winner.
We do not.
Yeah.
I wasn't done running through my non-binary bit.
Go ahead.
I'm done.
Okay.
Back to you.
Say congrats to Michelle from Suisun City.
Michelle!
Michelle is the winner of the Klay Thompson bobblehead three-pack, and she is qualifier one.
Okay.
She is qualifier number one for the Klay Thompson signed jersey that I am holding up to our Twitch and YouTube audiences right now.
Congratulations, Michelle. That's awesome for you and for all the people in Suisun City. There you go. One of the more underrated, out-of-the-way locales in the nine-county Bay Area. And it's just, I say it that way because I just happened to have bumped into the former mayor of the city and county of San Francisco, the Honorable Willie Brown. Just saw him in the lobby. I was on my way to the bathroom.
When?
Like, during the last break?
Today?
I was on my way.
Willie Brown is here?
He was.
Why?
He was doing a thing with KCBS.
Oh!
With the venerable Phil Metier, longtime Chronicle political reporter.
Yeah.
And so I'm walking to the bathroom, and it's a great part of being in a city like this and in a company like this, where I'm just walking through the lobby, and they're chatting. Of course, I immediately, oh my God! And they both turn around.
Did you ask him, hey, Willie, do you remember when political speakers weren't wrestlers? Did you ask him that?
Hulkamania.
Yeah. Anyway.
No, a couple of firm handshakes and a couple of, you know, guys, you don't know me. I know you.
Yep.
You guys are awesome. And Willie, thank you, young man. And it's funny because he kind of gave me the look up and down, and I'm wearing a poncho and shorts, and he's like, what the hell's wrong with this guy?
He's like, I mean,
but we had a moment.
Wrestlers at conventions are the least of our problems. If right. This is the way professionals dress in 2024.
Totally.
Good Lord.
And he had his patented fedora on.
Good.
With, you know, tie and a suit, looking good. And Phil Metier, of course, awesome as well. So,
is that actually a fedora, or is it just like a hat? You know, like a...
You didn't see it, so you don't know.
I know, but you said it was his, fedora. You said it was his patented fedora. I don't think he usually wears a fedora.
I'm going to Google it.
Isn't a fedora a little bigger than that? Fedora's got like a thing on it.
He had a pretty wide-brimmed hat. Let me see. Fedora.
Let's both Google Brown. Fedora.
Fedora Willie Brown.
Images, fedora.
Yeah, there it is.
No, I think you might be right.
Score one for the Dibber.
Yeah, that is. That's a fedora. I thought a fedora was a little bit more than that, but it's a little bit less. And Willie Brown wears a fedora.
Yeah.
Good job, Dibbers.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right. I should have known not to talk politics with you, you know, because you've been around so much longer.
You know, a lot longer.
Yeah. So anyway.
I mentioned to the two gentlemen how I used to work at KCBS back in 98, and Willie said, that was back at Embarcadero 4. And I said, that's right, 32nd floor.
Wow.
And he said, elevator's here, kid. I got to go.
I love it. You know you've gotten to a certain age when people just talk to each other by batting back and forth little things that they know.
Right. And also, like,
means you're ready to be a grandpa.
And also,
because that's what grandpas do. They just like, come over here, let me tell you what I know.
Exactly. Let me tell you about 1981. It's like, grandpa, what?
Wait, that station used to be over there. That's right.
Exactly.
That's a factoid.
And that's when I was there.
You know a thing.
You know it, yeah. Because he was there and I was there. We were both there then.
He was driving to a new town. All right, kids, here's how the weather patterns work because of the topography in this town.
No doubt.
It's just like, what are you telling me? They don't
Facts.
Care.
And educate the young, Mark.
Let me tell you some things that I know. All right. Anyway, that's cool. I didn't even know he was here. I've got to go to the bathroom more often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the least of your worries. You're constantly in there.
Apparently, he comes in every Friday morning, according to Mr. Nahigi.
Well, how would we know what the hell happens around here in the morning?
It's a very good question,
Mark. We wouldn't know.
Yep.
I can't tell you those facts. Now I can. Hey, kids, did you know that Willie Brown comes into Odyssey every Friday morning? No, Dad, I didn't know that. Well, now you do. That's something that Dad knows.
And you know what he's wearing, right?
A fedora.
You're welcome.
He wears a fedora. Do you know what a fedora is, young man? No, Dad, tell me what a fedora is. Anyway, all right, glad you're with us. Willard and Dibs, last day of our jacked-up lineup, Jack's Restaurant and Bar, and we'll be back to our normal, regularly scheduled programs on Monday. But this has been a ton of fun. And FP Santangelo is going to jump in here in about 10 minutes. He's in Colorado getting ready for Giants and Rockies. And yeah, like when we look at the Farhan thing, I do want to throw that out and sort of ask, I get the shortcomings. This I thought was a good text that we just got here a short time ago talking about. At 408, if you don't celebrate those that came before you, that shows your insecurity. I agree. I thought that this Giants regime to this point has been a little bit too focused on ego, which I would actually describe as showing everybody that we know the right way. And at times it has been right, and at times it's been very wrong. Fans want to look at things in a much more umbrella view. You know what I mean? Like, simplify this. That's what I would have said to Farhan. You know, if I could, it's too late for advice. It's year six, and nobody wants my advice. Why would he care? But if I was going to say things, dude, the fans just want simple. Here is the one sentence line. You need more good players. That's it. You don't need to be right. You don't need to have the second baseman in the shortstop position. You don't need flexibility. You don't need people with optionality. You don't need to platoon. Do you understand how much more patience fans would have had if they would look at the team and be like, dude, they get some good players. But they look at the team now for a long period running, and you're just like, I don't know how many good players are here. It feels like a talent-deficient product, even though that's not fully fair. They do have some pieces. But what you're going up against feels like a completely different animal. And so no one wants to sign up for that. And what I think has been proven is you can't outsmart that. And that's what they've spent about 5 years trying to do. So that is a, to me, fair criticism.
I do think that this year, though, they did what fans have wanted them to do all along, which is give us players that we can count on every day.
Yes.
Give us players that we know. And I know that Jung Hoo Lee is not somebody that anybody knew. None of us ever saw him play, but you knew that he was highly touted. And so when they went out and got him, it felt like that was a win. And Chapman, you knew who he was, and Blake Snell. And it felt like they brought in players who at least would be everyday guys. And so to your point, I think that fans over the last 2 or 3 years with a platoon at 7 of 9 spots, it felt like, I don't even know who these guys are. I don't even know if these guys are any good because I don't get to see them 2 days in a row, let alone for a full 9 innings.
Yeah, I mean, like, you look at the whole picture, though, and that's sort of how I'll And I don't want to say how I'll remember it. I don't know that this is over. It's far from over. Farhan is not going anywhere, certainly not yet. I think that there is a story to be told here the rest of the year. We'll see where it goes from there. But when I look at where we are to this point, I will remember, you know, a lot of you have loved Lamont Wade. He's a good player. And, he's representative of a lot of good things. And there was late night Lamont. There was all these things that he's been. Now, that's someone that he acquired out of nowhere for a pitcher. I think his name was Sean Anderson. He pulled him from the Twins. It's a phenomenal acquisition. Tyro Estrada, not so good this year, but largely that's been a very good acquisition. I know you, even though he didn't draft him, you've said he gets credit for Ramos. Ramos is here now. And he's doing this. And Patrick Bailey was his first round, his first round draft pick. And look at what Bailey is doing now. Very, very good catcher, who you can count on. And this year he did land free agents in the city that can't land a free agent he did. And so there's plenty of stuff where if you really want to be fair, you can look at Farhan Zaidi transactionally and go, okay. I totally see what you're doing, and you've got a lot of wins.
That's why I don't think that he is on as hot a seat as many think. Mm. And I know that you've got, more conversations and more intel. But just for me, as a fan, from the outside looking in, barring a 70-92 finish, which would be a collapse.
Totally.
And, if they wind up in that sort of a state, fine. All bets are off. And, Bomel could be in trouble as well. I don't think so. But if you have that kind of a collapse, that's a different story. But if you wind up right on the edge of the wild card and you just miss out and you show signs, I think that he's done everything that he was expected to do this year. And if they fall short, I don't know if I would be pointing the finger at him as far as blame. I would give him another year.
I understand where you're coming from, and you may well be right. That's the middle ground. If they're contending for a wild card spot to the final week and they don't get it, I don't think it's just black and white. Miss the playoffs and you're fired. I don't think it's that. But boy, if they don't make the playoffs, it's a maybe. It is a definite maybe. So transactionally, though, I think he's got a lot to offer. The issue is much more emotional, I think, for most fans, whether they admit it or not. The issue is vibe. The issue is approach, strategic approach. The issue is being very stuck to that model, even when it's not working. And what I think is really, if someone said one sentence, Farhan and Gabe, why did that not connect with fans? Whether this is fair or not, fans feel like they're being talked down to.
Right. My sentence was going to be, they thought they were smarter than the rest of us.
Yeah.
And it's great when you win 107, and then, his deep voice and his perfectly coiffed beard and the gun show and the hand tats and all the rest of it. It's like, man, Kapler, this guy's amazing. He's got this great voice, and he's got his finger on the pulse, and Farhan made this roster actually pop, and with new guys and a couple of the holdovers, and wow, 107, watch out, Sabian, your legacy could be in trouble. And then after that, it's just
Gabe and Farhan are very different guys, though. Gabe did some, he did make you feel like I'm smart and you're not. Farhan is not actually like that. I just think that he is making baseball decisions and at times is married too much to the formulaic way of doing that as opposed to the human way of doing that.
Right.
And you have to do both. You have to be able to do both.
And I also think, just real quick, when it comes to the connectivity with the fans, the fans want that. And,
totally.
You want to have a team that is full of guys who you know by just one name or a nickname. If it's the Panda and the Horse and Mad Bum and Buster and all the rest of it, they won championships, but they were from here, the organization. They won here and they stayed here. And this roster has always felt like a constant churn. And I liken it to, the compost pile. I don't know if you've ever done your own compost, but you have the corner of your yard, and it's just a heaping pile of stuff, and every 3 weeks or so, you got to get the pitchfork out, and you churn that baby over, and after a year or so, you've got some real fertilizer. You got some good soil in there. And that's kind of how Farhan has approached this team and this roster. It's been a constant churn.
You know what that is, by the way.
It's a...
it's a fertilization sensation.
That's what it is. I lost my way.
We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. There are questions to ask. How are the Giants going to lay out the starting rotation? Is Robbie Ray on the way? Is Birdsong on his way out? And what is the urgency level for the Giants as they start this 10-day, 11-game stretch? We go to Denver and talk with our buddy FP Santangelo coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
The Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. Filling in for Vontae Hill and Joe Shasky. Here's Willard and Dibs.
All right, here we go. I mean, you didn't need to call us heroes, Grandy, but thank you so much. It is Willard and Dibs on our jacked up week. And hanging out in the mornings. And Bonte and Joe will come along shortly. Stein and go after that. Two more chances to win the Klay Thompson jersey and get the bobblehead pack. 1-11 this afternoon, 5-11 this afternoon. Congrats again to Michelle, our winner this morning here on Willard and Dibs. It is time for intensity for the San Francisco Giants. Although, at the same time, I look at it and I go, really? Like, are we boiling down this entire regime to the next 10 days? Let's get out to Denver and our buddy FP Santangelo. Good morning, bud.
You guys are doing the mornings. Does this, hold on a second. I was getting a call. Sorry. You guys are doing the mornings. Does this mean Draymond hates you guys now?
That's right.
I'm surprised you're talking to me.
We're surprised you're talking to us right now, FP, after what we've been saying about you.
It's funny. You guys, I mean, seriously, this is... Can you believe, like, the whole season gets down to, like, the next 10 games? It's just amazing to me that I mean, they got to go. It's good. 3 against the Rockies, 4 against the Dodgers, 3 against the Rockies, and then 2 against Oakland. So, you know, I was talking to Luke Jackson in the elevator yesterday, and he says, like, this is our time. We got to go right now. And I think these guys are really aware of what's at stake, and they've been playing some decent baseball. And, you know, I think they got a chance.
FP Santangelo joining us on the River Islands guest line, and all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Well, FP, let me ask you about that, though. I know Farhan said it, but is it true? Like, what do you think is actually riding on these next 10 days?
Well, there's 3 games back of the wild card, right? And the West looks like, you know, that's a pipe dream right now to win the division. But as we know, we've seen teams get in through the wild card and do really well in the postseason. And yeah, I mean, you're either buying or you're selling right now. And here's the thing, like, we can be super dramatic and say, well, you know, if they do what they're supposed to do, and who knows with the Dodgers in 4 games at Dodger Stadium out of the break, if they're wobbly coming out of it and you can catch them at a good time and take, you know, split there, take 3 out of 4, whatever. First things first, this is a dangerous place to play. But who knows? I mean, are they going to buy? Are they going to sell? 90% of the times it's neither, right? 90% of the time. But I was just sitting here looking at things today. But if you get this rotation intact and you get Ray, Cobb, Snell, Webb, and Harrison, that's a pretty damn good rotation. And I think some damage can be done. And, you know, I was talking to Garvin Alston yesterday on the bus on the way here, and he was saying that Ray looked really good in his bullpen. That Cobb is close right now, and these guys are right around the corner. And I think there's a sense of urgency, and there's that fine line between, like, hey, they're ready right now, and don't push them, because then if we push them, we lose them. But that rotation, you guys, those 5 guys, I think can do some damage here in the mythical second half of the season. And so, well, I don't know if it's going to be a buy or a sell, but these next 10 days are going to be huge for the organization.
It might be a buy and a sell, just based on what Farhan normally does. But if you're looking at the buy portion of it, FP, what do they need to add to help them get over the hump?
They need a shortstop, first and foremost. They need a shortstop. I mean, that's number one. I mean, that's a premium position. I think Brett Wisely's done a really nice job. And I think Tyler Fitzgerald can do a decent job. But if we're talking about October baseball and we're talking about playoffs and how much money they spent in the offseason, how they literally pushed all the chips in the middle with how much money they spent, then, yeah, that's a premium position that you need somebody there on a daily basis that's going to be a threat, that's going to do some damage, and it's going to make every play. Like, I don't know who that is. We can all speculate. But I think if I were the Giants, you know, That's where my focus would be, for sure.
You like Jazz Chisholm, and can he play short?
I mean, does it matter?
I mean, yeah, it matters, right? Like, I mean, I know he can play second, but it's significant because I think he fits really well. But he's been in the outfield. He's been at second. He used to be at short a little bit. Can he man that position?
I think that's a very athletic position, right? You have to be, you know, go back to, like, Little League. The best player played short. Even in high school, the best player plays short. College is usually the same thing. Even in the minor leagues, it's a very athletic position. So do I think he can play there? Absolutely. And, like, the reason I said doesn't matter is because, I don't know, since I've been back in San Francisco, minus Brandon Crawford, the Giants have just shoved anybody at shortstop and said, hey, play shortstop. And, you know, that's the position I played the majority of my career. And there's so many little things that go along with being a shortstop besides fielding a ground ball and throwing it to first. You're the quarterback on defense. You're the captain on defense besides the catcher. And there's a lot that goes into it, like where you're supposed to be on every play, making sure everybody else is where they're supposed to be on every play, knowing when to go in and talk to the pitcher, when to not talk to the pitcher and leave him alone. You know, there's so many things that go into that position with the mental clock, where you're supposed to be on cutoffs and relays, you know, bunt Ds, all this stuff. So it's not just a plug and play position if you've never played there. So, and it's a tough position to learn for younger players at the major league level, as we've seen throughout the last year and a half or so. So, do I think I can play? He can play there athletically, yes. And I just think that the athleticism is something the Giants need. They need speed. The stolen base is back in baseball again. It sounds like they're going to open up the running game a little bit here in after the All-Star break. So we'll see how that goes. And if you do add a speed guy like Chet, I've always liked him. I just think he's a dynamic player. He's a game changer. And I even like the fact that he's going to piss off some other teams, to be honest. Like, there's a lot of guys with the Giants that are just they're not dynamic in that sense, where you don't really have to worry about a Matt Chapman pissing somebody off, or a Lamont Wade Jr. or Wilmer Flores or Tyro. Like, I kind of like that edge in the way that the game has evolved in today's game, and you have some flair and you have some style to your game. And I can't believe I'm saying this, listen to myself saying this, because I was like the old guy, get off my lawn on the bat slips and all that stuff. But I just think that the game has evolved into that right now, and I kind of enjoy it. I mean, I don't enjoy pink uniforms of the All-Star game. I will say, it's just terrible. That whole thing is terrible. The whole All-Star experience this year was terrible. And whoever's making the decisions in Major League Baseball needs to really take a look at themselves. But as far as, like, the players showing genuine emotion, I think that's really cool. And I think the Giants could use somebody that can spark the team and has a little swagger and a little flair and maybe gets the dugout going. And whomever that is, I think, you know, obviously you have to get a player that can put up some numbers and contribute. You're not just going to go out and recruit a cheerleader or trade for a cheerleader. But if it's a guy that can play and he had some flair and he had some spark and he had some energy, you know, that's exactly what this team needs, in my opinion.
Would you give up Luciano for him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd give up a lot. I'd give up a lot of people. I'm not a GM, or do I ever pretend to be one, because those guys do it for a living and they get there at 9 o'clock and leave at midnight every day. But I would say that based on the pitching and the way it's coming along with the health wise, I honestly think this team has a chance to make a big time push. And if you guys looked at that tweet, I retweeted it yesterday. I forget who put it up, but the Giants have the easiest schedule in all of baseball in the second half, the easiest schedule. So that combined with a mediocre National League, that combined with if you get hot in September, who knows if you get in this thing. Like, this isn't company lines, you guys. This is a guy that spent his career in baseball that really honestly thinks this team has a chance to make a push in the second half. And I think they've underachieved in the first half. I think there's more talent. I don't care about the injuries. I don't care what's happened. There's some really damn good players on this team. And I think they've underachieved in the first half of the season, and they know that, and they're accountable. And I think they're going to play a lot better, and I think they're going to make a push. And this isn't cheerleader rah-rah crap. Like, I really believe it.
And if you look at that in totality, easy schedule and underperforming in the first half and a weak National League, does this all lead to a call for reckoning for Farhan Zaidi at the end of the year if, in fact, they fall short, considering everything that's going their way with the rotational pieces coming back, the schedule, the National League? Is this kind of a make-or-break stretch for Farhan?
I mean, I don't know about that, but I mean, it's big boy business, right? I tell you guys that all the time. It's a bottom line industry. Like, you're measured by your wins and losses. And no matter if you're a player, a coach, or a president of baseball operations, and I think everybody's aware of that. I don't think this is a mystery. I think guys know that if you win in this business, you stay, and if you don't, you go. It's just the accountability factor at the highest level in any sport is super intense. So I don't know that there's panic, but I'm pretty sure that everybody's aware of the consequences if this team puts so much money in the offseason and doesn't make the playoffs. I would say a sense of urgency for everybody to pick it up a notch and play a little bit better. But this team has fought all season long. That's one thing I'm leaving out here in all these numbers. And, you know, the Giants were 33-32 after the break last year. That's not going to be good enough this year. But the one thing this team has done is fought and scrapped and clawed all season long. A lot of come from behind wins. Even the Yaz walk off before the break was really cool. So I don't know. I have good vibes. And trust me, it's been a roller coaster season. If things don't go well here in Denver, You know, I was around a team in 2019 that lost, I don't know, like 6 of 7 going into the trade deadline, and it was a fire sale, and everybody got traded everywhere, and it was just like sell. So I kind of have PTSD from that, and I'm really hoping for these guys' sake, because they're a bunch of good dudes. They really like playing with each other and playing for each other, and they're selfless. That for these guys and for this coaching staff and for this organization, I really, really am rooting for them. I hope they lock it in here in the next 10 days so that we selfishly as fans can have a fun ride here the last 60 games or whatever it is.
Talking with FP Santangelo here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. FP, there's the Jordan Hicks situation, stay or go bullpen. Robbie Ray coming back. Alex Cobb maybe in a little bit. And young guy Hayden Birdsong. And it sort of feels like it's those four guys for two spots. How would you play out the rotation going forward?
I think the Hicks thing was cool at first because his stuff was electric, but this stuff has kind of faded a little bit, and I don't know if it's just because he's never pitched this many innings or he's never been a starting pitcher, but the stuff is kind of flat all of a sudden. I don't know if that's fatigue. You know, 92 is not sinking like it used to. It doesn't have that electric finish. The split's not diving off the table like it did early in the season. I mean, this guy used to throw 104, and he's sitting at 92, 93 right now. So I'm not sure fatigue's a factor right there or what's going on. But maybe he just goes to the bullpen and blows it out and gets back up to 100. I don't know how that works. I don't know if it's just in his back pocket and that's something you can have. So we'll see. I don't know. Maybe the All-Star break did him well, but Birdsong to me is a big time wild card in this whole thing. I really like what I'm seeing from the kid. He's got cockiness. He's got swagger. He's got confidence out there, and his stuff plays big time at this level. As long as he throws strikes, he's super effective. And I think, you know, more importantly, the team is gaining confidence in him and what he's bringing to the party every fifth day. But Ray, Cobb, Snell, Webb, Harrison, that sounds like an October type of starting rotation.
And if the rotation is that and you have other arms in the bullpen, does one of those arms maybe slide in and start taking the ninth inning? Because I'm seeing Camilo Doval as a guy who's a little bit shakier than I remember him last year. Is his job as closer in some jeopardy, FP?
Yeah, I mean, if there's a sense of urgency to win and he's not getting the job done, I don't think as a manager sending a message at this time of year is a panic move. Like if you're a manager in April and May and all of a sudden you change closers or all of a sudden a hitter goes 1 for 30 in the clubhouse, that's perceived as a panic move. And then the team lose confidence in the manager. But if you're to this point in the season, what are there, 65, 66 games left? I don't even know. And guys aren't getting the job done. I don't care what your resume is or what it says on the back of your baseball card. You have to do whatever is best for everybody in that clubhouse. And if somebody's underperforming and not getting the job done, in this case, I mean, we're pointing out Camilo Doval. He hasn't been the same guy this year for whatever reason. His stuff just doesn't play like it did last year, whether it's lack of command, whether the cutter isn't as filthy, whether it's the demeanor, whether it's, I mean, there's a lot of things that just aren't, it's not like, they're not Camilo-like, what we've been used to as Giants fans. So if you're not getting the job done, and it's, I don't know, there's other guys down there that can get the last three outs of the game. I'm very confident in that. So I don't know if you move on from him. I don't know if he's a trade piece in this thing, or you just show confidence in the guy and say, look, you're our guy. But I think, you know, like we get back to the initial point, the next 10 days are going to tell the story. And if there's like consistently more blown saves than this, I'll just say this in general, and this isn't pointing a finger at Camilo. In my experiences, when there's a blown save, those are the worst clubhouses to be in after a game. Those are the ones that suck the life out of the room and suck the life out of you as a player. It's almost like, you know, as a football player, you play your ass off for four quarters, and then the kicker comes in and misses the field goal that would have won you the game. Like, it's the same kind of thing. Like, hey, I'm out there for 3 hours, and we're flying around and doing everything and running the bases, and I'm dirty and bloody, and we've done everything we can to win a game. And the closer comes in and blows the save, you get in that clubhouse, I mean, it's crickets. It's like a funeral kind of setting. And sometimes those have a negative momentum into the next day. So the toughest losses in my experience as a player were blown saves.
FP, real quick, you told me a handful of weeks ago, don't give up on Jorge Soler. And then he had a really good June. He had a solid June. No two ways about it. So far in July, he's hitting 195 and he's striking out every 2.5 at bats. Where do we stand?
Okay, you can give up on him.
Okay, there it is. All right, that's definitive.
No, he's gonna hit one back to San Francisco in the series. I'm calling it right now.
Okay.
No, I don't know. I'm still not used to a guy that the Giants paid to drive in runs leading off. Like maybe that's the old guy get off my lawn take on this thing. I would love for a guy like Jorge Soler to be in that four spot. To come up with the bases loaded in the first inning, or to come up with the bases loaded consistently, and not necessarily hit a grand slam, but you know, sack fly, drive in a couple of runs, get a clutch hit. It's just odd to me, and maybe that's something that I need to learn about modern day baseball. To see a big guy that you paid a lot of money to hit home runs and to drive in runs, being a scrappy leadoff hitter and working a walk to start the game off. And, you know, word is he's comfortable there. Well, I want him to be comfortable hitting third or fourth, driving in runs.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that if I was an owner and that's what I paid him to do, that's kind of what I'd want him to do. So maybe that evolves. But, I mean, now that I'm thinking about it on live radio with you guys, like, that could be a big key in the second half. If, like, he gets locked in, he gets hot, but, like, he gets into a spot in the order where he's coming up with runners on. Consistently, and then doing some damage. And it doesn't have to be the ultimate damage. Just be a threat in that spot. Know that, you know, hey, if they're not going to pitch to me, I'll take my walk. But if they hang something, I'm going to be dangerous. I'm going to be up here ready to do some damage. I know you only lead off once a game, and the on-base percentage, and he gets, I don't know how many more turns to hit because he's leading off. Like, I understand the logic in it. I understand the rhythm in it, and if the offense is clicking, like, I mean, am I wrong here? Like, I want that. I want the big guy that hits. The big guy hit ball far. You hit fourth. Like, sorry, that's how it goes.
No, I'm with you. In 2 weeks, I want Jazz Chisholm leading off. That's what I'd like to see. Hey, partner, have a good trip. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, I got a tough day today. I'm going to lay out by the pool, and then I'm going to walk to the ballpark and call a major league game. So I hope you guys are feeling for me here.
What's the temperature there?
The temperature is going to be the high of 93 today here at the Mile High City.
Okay.
So bet the over. I thank you for that. No problem.
All right,
appreciate
guys.
That. The ball's going to be jumping at Coors.
Put some
take
more,
care, Mort. Take care.
Yeah, put some more pictures on Instagram with you in shades by the pool.
Did you like that third shot?
I did.
I was feeling myself a little bit. I was like, I look good. I'm going to post a selfie. I never do that.
Oh, I love it. All right, man. Have a good one.
All right. See you guys. Thank you.
Yep. There he goes. FP on the River Islands guest line. Giants and Rockies coming up this weekend. It's 93 degrees and beautiful in Denver.
Yeah, it's beautiful that the second half is getting underway, and you know, we made it through a week of light sports activity. Home Run Derby, All-Star Game, fine. And here we go. The final 60-plus games of the year. It's make or break, perhaps, for Farhan Zaidi. Will Doval keep the closer spot? Will the rotation finally come into fruition where you got five legitimate live arms? A lot of fun questions to look at here as we go down the stretch.
I tell you what's not a fun question, though. Giants are up 5-3, bottom of the ninth tonight. Here comes Doval at Coors Field. Oh, crap. That's not a fun question at all.
That's a really good question, Mark.
It's not. Here's the question. Do you want that? No, I don't. I want them to be up 9-3.
Well, an even better question would be, do you still go to Doval? And I wonder blown saves does he get? And FP's right. And I was thinking about Jake Moody because I've been watching the receiver doc on Netflix. And, you know, FP said, when the kicker comes in and misses that kick. And in the Netflix doc, they take you to Cleveland. That's as far as I've gotten, episode 3. And, you know, Moody misses the kick. And Kittle's mic'd up, of course, in this doc. And he's like, well, that sucks. and I'm paraphrasing.
That's so Kittle. But remember, they're 5-0 at that point. So it's
right,
like,
but 6-0, I mean,
it would have been great, but it's
41-yarder, that's a 90% kick for those guys at this level.
Yeah.
And he misses it. He pushes it right. And you could see Kittle like, well, that blanket sucked.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it did. I mean, you're still 5-1.
It didn't suck as bad as the next 2 weeks.
Right.
Can't wait to see what happens there.
Yeah.
But Anyway.
That's coming up.
Doval, the funny thing is, how many blown saves does he have this year?
Four or five, yeah, I believe.
It's not as many as it feels like.
Right.
Let's put it that way.
But there have been a couple games, two or three games, where he's given up a four spot, and it felt like his interest level was not as high as it should be.
He had eight blown saves last year. He's got four this year. It's a little bit more intricate than that. You know, if you want to dive into the numbers, Camilo Doval has never had a season in the big leagues where he had an ERA over three. Never. But this year, he's at 4.38.
Right. And a lot of that is because of those three games where he got absolutely lit up.
His strikeout to walk ratio is way, way down. His whip is way, way up.
1.622.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not a very cool whip.
And in terms of the save opportunities conversation, he's had multiple games where he's come in with like a four or five run lead and given up like three runs.
Exactly.
Which doesn't count as a save opportunity, but his ERA takes a major hit.
Yeah, he had the game where they were up 13-2 and he couldn't finish it.
Right. That's the one I think that sticks in a lot of people's craw, maybe including internally, because he came in angry and he went out angrier.
Correct. He beat up a water cooler.
Right.
Which, by the way, I don't know if people know this in baseball. Football is such an emotional sport. If somebody goes over there and beats up something on a football sideline, you're like, okay, you know, football player goes crazy. That's, you know, whatever. In baseball, when you do that, that is not well received in the clubhouse. Guys get it, but you are expected to sort of deal with your frustrations in a way that doesn't put it out there. And by the way, don't forget, you can get frustrated and have it go sideways in a dugout. Was it Carlos Rodon? He threw something or whacked something and then it hit Estrada. I think this was last year.
The bat.
Like, yeah. Dude.
He like kicked a bat and it flew up and hit his teammate.
I'm telling you, this was down in the minor leagues and I had never looked at it that way, but somebody got really frustrated in the dugout. And I'm like, you know, athlete gets frustrated. That happens. And the rest of the team was like, no, dude, you're not beating up the water cooler. And then when you find out that he's beating up the water cooler, because you can't close out an 11-run lead and you're mad at the manager because you're too good to be in that situation. How do you think his teammates felt about that? I'll take a guess. Bad.
Especially his bullpen mates, because the only reason why he was in there is because the bullpen was taxed.
So taxed.
Right. So we need you just to go out there and get three outs. If you wouldn't mind, if you would trouble yourself to go throw some pitches. And, I mean, we could go to Tyler Fitzgerald. He's pitched, and he's pitched pretty well, but we'd rather have you, our closer, go in there and just do your job, get some outs. So I do wonder what that, like what the grace period is now for Camilo Doval. If they go out tonight, in your scenario, 5-3 lead in the ninth, and he gives up a two spot and you lose in extra innings, does he get another crack? How many more blown save opportunities does he get in this ultra-important stretch?
I can't put a number on it yet. It's somewhat circumstantial. It's more of a feeling.
Like, what do you feel?
Like, what does the blown save look like? Like, it's Colorado, and sometimes a run here or there is not really the pitcher's fault. If it's a one-run game and guys are blooping balls in, somebody gets a little squibber down the third baseline, you're not pulling Doval. If he goes in there walking people, dude, nobody's got time for that.
And I also think it has to do with how he deals with the adversity that he faces.
I agree.
You know, that's been as big a part of the Doval story as the ineffectiveness. It's been the demeanor.
That 13-2 game where he came in and he gave up four runs and only got one out, he hadn't pitched in 4 days. In 4 days, he hadn't pitched. And the bullpen is so taxed. And he beats up a water cooler because you went to him and asked him to go get three simple outs? Yeah. I promise you, that raised eyebrows with teammates. Forget fans.
Undoubtedly. And just real quick before you go to the phones, for Grandy and for Lucas, the official Dibber Claus lock of the day is the over, 10.5, Giants-Rockies, which means they're going to fade the Dibber and go with the under.
Kyle Harrison going to throw seven shutty or something?
Yeah, like he's saying bet the over.
Bet the over.
Wait, what are you betting?
I'm betting the over, which means they're going to bet the under.
Yeah, so Kyle Harrison, seven shutty.
In Colorado,
You said the over-under's 10.5?
Yeah, we're going over 10.5.
Who's pitching for the Rockies?
Cal Quantrill. He's all right. Mediocre.
Yeah. He's doing pretty good this year, actually.
Big right-hander. Yeah.
4.13 ERA. It's 92 degrees. You got some fresh legs and some fresh bats.
10.5? That's hot.
That's nothing in Colorado.
The Rockies don't
hit. The Rockies stink.
Yes, they don't hit. Giants they can't hit at Coors Field.
Giants will win this one 8-3. Go ahead and book it.
I like the under. I like
everyone
the
likes the under, but me. Fade the Dimmer. Go ahead. You won't.
First and foremost, you're right. I won't. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live in the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.